Hello, returning happies and new listeners. This is Steve Bennett Martin.
And this is Stephen Martin Bennett. And welcome to A Lifetime of Happiness,
the podcast where we take you on our journey through some of the movies, television shows, and other bits of pop culture that are helping to keep us happy while hopefully bringing a smile to your face along the way.
And today we're continuing Pride Month with a celebration of young love and coming out in Love, Simon.
To be young, dumb, and full of inspiration. Before we get into that, my love, though, what's making you happy?
Dinosaurs are making me happy.
Oh, what are you, a five-year-old?
Yes, I am. So, yeah, the final movie of the Jurassic World trilogy is coming out, and actually has come out. We haven't gotten to see it yet, but in preparation, I have been rewatching the five previous Jurassic movies, and I love them. Even the one that isn't the best, Jurassic Park 3, I still enjoy.
I love some of them. Some of them I said, you watch on your own, babe.
Jurassic World and the original Jurassic Park both still hold up extraordinarily well. They are fantastic.
Yes, they certainly are.
Now, what's been making you happy, my darling?
Chip and Dale. Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale is on Disney Plus and not the original cartoon that basically defined my childhood. But it was one of my favorite Disney shows, and it got a modern day reboot movie remake.
It kind of
breaking
like
the fourth wall behind the scenes of the show in real life, but with cartoons merged with humans, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, and because there was enough of an overlap where I was watching DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Chip and Dale, and Tailspin in the afternoons that you were as well.
And there were just so many references to just everything like Disney and cartoon history.
Yeah.
That was just, it was fun. It's one of those movies, you know, when we rewatch it again, we're going to notice jokes and things that we didn't notice the first time because they were just littered everywhere.
There were about a kabillion Easter eggs in that movie.
I love when they were talking about like the one like dwarf guy where they were talking about like that time in the early aughts where everyone like looked kind of real but had the creepy dead eyes. And I'm like, yes, that's what's happening, because I'm replaying Fire Emblem Awakening now, and in their little 3D things above it, I'm like, they have the same eyes.
Yeah. And there were some other movies like that and like the Shrek, some of the Shrek people too, yeah, they were poking fun of, and original movie Sonic before
Ugly Sonic
before all the fans revolted and they went back in and redid it and everyone decided, oh
yes.
Now, about this movie.
Yes, IMDb summarizes it as Simon Spear keeps a huge secret from his family, his friends, and all of his classmates. He's gay.
Oh my.
When that secret is threatened, Simon must face everyone and comes to terms with his identity.
Again, IMDb did not do a bad job at all. Now, why do you enjoy Love, Simon?
It's kind of like how I wish my coming out would have been or could have been.
Yeah.
It's just, it's really sweet and heartwarming. And like I said, it just fills you with this inspiration that like it gets better. It's going to be okay. And that like, even like from the time that I was in high school to the time that these kids are in high school, that like things are better than they were mm-hmm. and continue to hopefully get that way.
Yes.
What about you?
Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner is
I almost forgot to ask because I knew the answer, but I realized that our listeners didn't.
I love me some Jennifer Garner, and she is really good in this movie, and we'll get into more of why I really enjoy her in this later on.
Yes, and Love, Simon, like all of our movies, is going to be fully spoiled, so you should go watch it. It's on Amazon free with ads.
And so on Showtime.
Or Showtime or something. But it's out there, and watch it, and it's fun.
Yes.
And it was distributed by 20th Century Fox back in March 16th of 2018.
Right before the pandemic. Or maybe that was way before
that. That was a couple years before the pandemic.
I've lost years.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. But it had an estimated budget between $10 and $17 million. And a box office of $66.3 million, which is, like, awesome, because it's more than triple.
Yeah, and they liked it well enough that there's now a sequel TV show, Love, Victor.
Yes, and this was directed by Greg Berlanti, who we covered in the previous episode, The Broken Hearts Club, and is based on Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Albertalli.
And the film stars Nick Robinson as Simon, Josh Duhamel as his dad, Jack, Jennifer Garner as his mom, Emily, Catherine Langford as Leah, his current girlfriend, or best friend, Kenan Lonsdale as Bram, Simon's kind of love interest.
Yes. And Nick Robinson is known for his role as Zach in Jurassic World trilogy.
Yeah.
While Kenan is from CW's The Flash, his Kid Flash. And Catherine starred in 13 Reasons Why as Hannah Baker.
And isn't Kenan also one of the twins in the new Scream movies?
No.
Oh, is that not him?
No.
Oh, okay. I got him confused. So
another, no, that's the jock from Love, Victor.
Oh, yes. So I was confusing you were getting my love movies.
Yes. There we go.
Josh Duhamel is best known by others for his role as William Lennox in the Transformers movies.
Not how I know him.
No, he was also in the show Vegas.
Yes, I think that's how I know him.
Yep. And Jennifer Garner is one of my favorite people, known for her starring role as Cindy Bristow in Alias, 13 going on 30 as Jenna, her pretend cooking show on Instagram, and as Elektra in the Not As Bad As People Say Daredevil movies. And she's also now known for saying, "What's in your wallet?"
Yes, she is. And even now I forget what the name of the credit card. I just know it's a credit card. And I remember
that. Oh, my God, I don't know what it is either. Oh,
no, that's not effective marketing, people.
I know Jennifer Garner, and I know how to say, "What's in your wallet?" But that's about it.
Yes, well, the listeners are probably screaming at us now, so let's move on to a discussion of the movie.
Yes.
It starts with Simon Spear telling us about himself. He's honestly lived a charmed life, and he recognizes it. He's a senior in high school. His parents are former quarterback Jack and valedictorian Emily. High school sweethearts, his younger sister Nora is an aspiring chef and follows that whole like 10-year-old with like the mind and personality of a 30-year-old.
Yeah, except for the emotional maturity part. She's yes. definitely still 10 there.
As Simon spends time drinking too much iced coffee with his three best friends, Leah, Nick, and Abby.
And he considers himself fairly normal other than his one huge ass secret. He's gay.
Don't say gay, babe. We're in Florida.
Oh, yeah, no, Mr. DeSantis, you can't stop me. Gay, 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 gay.
Yes.
And now he heads off to school. Simon sees a man that he finds attractive working with a leaf blower in his neighbor's yard. Yeah. And the whole scene is just awkward as hell.
I like your boots.
And the guy has the leaf blower going the whole time and can't hear him. And Simon's just trying to, like, makes small talk, and then finally says, "I like your boots," and you know the guy didn't hear a word of it.
Which is probably for the best, because I remember my first couple attempts at flirting, and it was not smooth at all.
Growing up in the closet is not fun. Mine was in the Bible Belt, and in a small town where everybody knew me, so that wasn't great. What about you?
It wasn't any better being in, like, a bigger town or a group of towns on Long Island, but I don't know. I know that I had the experience of coming out earlier than you, so I had the experience of coming out in high school. Obviously, it wasn't as fun in your area, and you decided to wait until college to live the Simon college fantasy.
Yes. Fun fact, while Nick Robinson, our Simon, identifies as straight in real life, his younger brother came out just as the film went into production.
Because what better way to find yourself a way to come out other than being like, "Hey, mom and dad, you know how your oldest is getting paid a whole bunch of money to act gay? Well, I'm actually really gay." And I'll do it for free. Yeah.
Simon always picks his friends up for school, and they have one openly gay student at school, Ethan, and he's picked on by the school's resident jackasses, Aaron and Spencer. Did you have anyone out in school?
Me.
Yes.
Me. I was the first one out.
That's, yes.
What was it like for you, though? Did you have someone who was out?
No.
And, like, no one was out?
No one was out. And after we graduated, the next year, there was a bisexual table. But whether they were actually bisexual or whether they were just doing it as, like, there had been a goth table the year before, I don't know. But no, there was nobody out when I was in high school.
See, I was one of the first ones out, so I don't know really what it was like outside looking in.
Look at you, you trailblazer.
I know. Well, by the time there must have been something in the water at that Catholic school, because in a graduating class of 90, I swear like a dozen of us were out and proud by graduation. Like, oh, there was something in the water there.
In my graduating class of 200, I know of many, many that are gay. Some of them aren't out, but you'll have that.
Yeah, and their principal, Mr. Worth, Tony Hale from Arrested Development, always tries too hard to be relatable and has a thing with cell phones.
Simon and Abby are performing in the school's production of Cabaret, as is Martin, the resident theater douche. Every school has one. And he's an awkward guy that has a crush on Abby.
Yes. At home, Simon is watching TV with his family when Jack makes an unfortunate joke about a guy on The Bachelor looking fruity.
Yeah, it's amazing how small comments like that can impact us. Did you have any experiences like that? People just saying something not meaning to be hurtful?
Well, and it's one thing when it's someone from the outside, which, like, will happen, but, like, I think it strikes us, like, especially hard when it's our parents.
Yeah.
Like, I know that I used to watch TV with my mom a lot, and mm-hmm. if there was, like, anything same-sex, like, she'd change the channel and make, like, a comment, like, oh, that's disgusting or mm-hmm. gross or horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just set me, like, confirmed, like, all my worst suspicions that it was unacceptable to have the feelings that I was feeling.
Right. And I definitely... There were all those situations, and it's difficult because, you know, you're looking to certain people for acceptance and validation and wanting them to be proud of you. And then in moments where an off-the-cuff comment that probably means very little, like Simon's dad making that comment about The Bachelor, he's trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hurtful. Because, you know, Simon, of course, internalizes it.
Yes. Now, later, Simon gets a FaceTime call from Leah, who tells him about a new post on Creek Secrets, like a PG-13 Gossip Girl where people can post anonymous things about other people and sometimes themselves, where an anonymous student going by Blue has come out as gay. Simon decides to start emailing Blue under the alias of Jacques, as in Jacques...
Jacques D.
Which is French for Simon Says.
Yep. And... It's interesting, whenever Leah first called him, his terror was palpable because he was immediately sure that someone was writing about him.
Yes. And it just makes me like, and I remember being back there, especially back in high school, but like why it happens, unfortunately, even into adulthood, where why do people care so much about who other people screw? Or like who they desire or who's straight and who's gay? Like,
because I think people... like to have people figured out, and because if you can put someone into little boxes and this is the little box you fit into, then in their mind that makes it all make sense for them. It doesn't make it right or anything, and you know, nobody likes to be pigeonholed or put into boxes, and it's nobody's business who anybody wants to have sex with, what of any of the genders.
I was like, unless you were one of the people just seeing if you're interested in each other. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, anxiously awaiting a reply from Blue, he gets a cell phone taken away until after play practice. And at play practice, we meet his drama teacher, Miss Albright, who could really just give two fucks about the job. And the show Cabaret is a complete train wreck. And a lot of it is because the school forced her to cast anyone who auditioned.
Yes. Natasha Rothwell does like a great job on this.
Yes.
And he gets his phone back later to find Blue has responded to Simon. And the two continue to send each other messages and start forming their connection.
Now, we didn't have a kind of Creek Secrets type of thing for our school.
We didn't either. But like the entire idea of like... The closest thing we had to that was like each other's MySpace walls. Like it was giving me like MySpace vibes. But then when he and Simon started, or like when he and Blue started emailing each other, it was giving me like AOL Instant Message vibes.
What was your screen name?
My one that like still actually technically exists today was Sweet Escape 819.
after Gwen Stefani's song, but I also had Tabula Rasa after it was a Buffy episode, and Yerkwa Hazan after Angel season 5. So I had a couple Buffy and Angel inspired screen names. What about you?
So mine was originally TV Boy Steve, thinking it highlighted my interest in television, until I was told by a skeezy older dude that the TV in my screen name meant that I was a transvestite.
Oh no, that's funny.
Thank you.
I mean, no, it's sad. I wonder how many like M for M chat rooms you went into with that screen name and people thought.
Oh, it, the first night I was told.
Oh, okay.
But it, like, I had had it for a bit as like friendly use.
Yeah.
And none of my friends thought anything of it because
they didn't speak the lingo.
No. And so, yeah, the first M for M chat room, someone told me, and I was like,
are you in the wrong chat room?
And yeah, then I changed it. Not that there is anything wrong with being a transvestite. That was just not what I was. And as an 18, 19 year old child, like discovering his sexuality, I was very much thrown off my game.
Yes, Blue and Simon talk about their first celebrity crushes. Simon liking Daniel Radcliffe in the 6th Harry Potter movie, which is better than liking him in the first one. And Blue liking Jon Snow, which is very of the time and causes Simon to look at any Game of Thrones fans at school as potential Blues.
Yeah, and none of them were anybody that Simon would want to have be Blue. And Blueso also says that he enjoys the Halloween Oreos that are orange and black, which means that Blue has horrible taste.
I like Oreos sometimes with things. Like, I like cookies and cream ice cream. You don't have to hate on it that bad just because it's not your thing.
I know.
You like the filling.
I do. No, Simon is at the school library when he accidentally leaves his emails open because the assistant principal comes up, and so he just X's out real quick. And then Theater Douche Martin sits down and turns out, you know, he finds that his emails were there, and so he approaches Simon and reveals that he took screenshots of all the emails, and he's going to blackmail Simon to set him up with Abby. And Simon, of course, is upset because he doesn't want everyone to know that he's gay, and so he reluctantly goes along with it.
Yeah. Have you ever been blackmailed?
No. Have you?
Like, I've had, like, high school blackmail where, like, it was never to this extent.
Yeah.
But I definitely had people being like, well, like, you better keep my secret or I won't keep yours type of thing.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate. But, like, no, most people use it to hold things over and I would just go along with it. Like, it never was, like, snowballed out of more than, like, a one-time favor or, like, a empty threat.
Yeah. No, it was, I don't know why. I had a bunch of secrets. Bad, so, yeah. At lunch, Simon's friend Bram invites everyone to his house for a Halloween party.
Making a comment about the Oreos.
Yep. And so Simon starts to suspect that Bram could be Blue based on the interactions and the hints dropped. And
I say, trust your instincts, kid.
Yeah. That plot point goes for a little bit further. And because they meet up at Simon's house for pre-Halloween, and he and Leah are dressed as John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Nick is Cristiano Ronaldo, which is really just Nick in a high school soccer uniform with Ronaldo taped on his back.
Yeah. And Abby is Wonder Woman. And because of the blackmail, Simon also invited Martin to the chagrin of his friends, who arrives dressed as a Freudian slip.
And okay, he might be the absolute worst, but best costume.
Oh yeah, like if this was in college, it would have gone over huge.
Yes.
Like it was the wrong demographic for the costume.
Yep. And on the way to the party, Martin ends up trying way too hard to talk to Abby when she's clearly more interested in Nick. At the party, Nick tells Simon he's thinking of asking Abby out, but Simon comes up with a lie that Abby's dating an older college guy named Jonathan to try and like keep her free for Martin. And Simon's then invited by Bram to play beer pong of some sort of fancy name that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And gets Martin and Abby to play against them. After some karaoke chemistry, Simon goes upstairs to find Bram making out with a girl. To Simon's disappointment, to make things even worse, Martin blows chunks on Simon after getting too drunk.
Ugh, that is like the worst end to a party.
Yes. Do you have any experiences like that?
Not to that extent. I've never been thrown up on, but I had been working as a nightclub promoter for a bit in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And on the last night where the club was closing down, all the promoters were there and they gave us a round of drinks. And one of the guys, after everyone had finished about half the drink, he goes, "You have roughly an hour." And everyone's like, "An hour for what?" And he goes, "Till your roofies kick in."
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
And so one of the guys punched him. Everyone dumped their drinks on him. And everybody rushed home. And I passed out in the bathroom sitting on the toilet. And it was not a great night.
No, that doesn't sound like a good night.
No. What about you? Have you ever had an awful party experience?
Well, luckily, by that point in a party, I'm normally blacked out.
That's not really luckily.
I know. Well, now I get to live through it sober, so I'll have to learn. But, like, I know that there were just parties where, like, everything seemed like it was going wrong. Like, my first handful of birthday parties, even without alcohol involved, but just, like, I remember there was one year where we were, like, going into the city for my birthday, and just, like, so many people, like, didn't come that were supposed to come. So many people that weren't invited showed up.
Yeah.
When we were there, everyone wanted to do their own separate thing. And so it's like, why are we even here for my birthday if we all just, like, come into the city at different times and explore the city independently, separately? Like, it was just one of those birthdays where nothing went right.
Now, were you known for making out with girls?
Yes. But I did my handful of, like, making out with girls when I was trying it out or, like, pretending to be straight.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, a phase early on in college where I would make out with girls, like, at the club, being out as gay and just, like, us making out just for fun.
Yep. That I totally remember that. There was, because I was always told that I was really good at making out, and so the girls were always like, "Oh, I want to try." And yeah. So
then for me, it was my tongue ring that got the girls. You got me more girls than guys, I think.
Memories.
Yes. But I mean, would you ever say, like, as much as, like, we both identify as gay and it's a men exclusively, did you ever have chemistry with any of the girls? Like, was it ever like,
oh yeah. In high school, there was definitely a girl that I was very much attracted to. And sadly, I found out last year during the whole let trans kids play thing with sports that she's a horrible bigot. And have written her out of my life. The
spark is gone.
Yeah, the spark is completely gone. Thankfully, I can say she did not grow up in my hometown. So anybody listening, it's not anybody that you knew.
Yes. Now, Leah tries to cover up how drunk Simon is to his parents, although his parents see right through it and play it cool, letting Leah spend the night like she has for the past 10 years. Do you have any experience trying to, like, hide your drinking from your parents?
Nope. It was just not a thing whenever I was living with them. So that was not anything I don't know. I was a good kid.
I remember spending more time hiding the fact that I was smoking cigarettes from my parents. Like, it was, like, easily, like, a year or two of me smoking before, like, they found out.
Yeah.
And, like, not just, like, smoking occasionally, but, like, I must have always smelled like my cheap-ass cologne, like, at that time, because I don't know how you can, like, live with a smoker and not realize they're a smoker unless you're just, like, giving them space because they're also probably a gross-smelly teenager.
Yeah.
But,
did you have any girls that were allowed to sleep over?
No, did you?
Oh, yeah. Like, but wait, I couldn't stay in the same room. Like, when it was time to go to bed, I had, like, they got to sleep in my bedroom, and I had to go sleep in one of the other rooms in the house.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, I was always, like, even after I came out, it was still, I was allowed to have boys sleep over, but not boys that were boyfriends, but I was still allowed to have, like, the guys sleep over, and I was still not allowed to have the girls sleep over. And at that point, you would have thought, like, my parents would have, like, flipped it or just opened it up to all genders at that point. But no, like, Laura is still, like, it wasn't until, like, college where I was living with my grandmother where, like, Laura would spend the night and have my parents, like, know and be okay with it. And it wasn't even technically under their roof. It was under my grandmother's.
Yeah.
But by that point, it didn't really matter. But beforehand, no, it was just boys only.
So Simon and Leah go up to his room where Leah talks about loving one person for the rest of her life. And she means Simon. And he pretends he doesn't get it or really doesn't get it because he's so self-involved at that point.
And drunk.
And drunk. And instead he gently changes the subject and goes to bed and she goes to sleep on the floor. Did you ever have somebody that was like that, that was potentially a best friend and they wanted to be more?
Not like a best friend situation where like 10 years into it and the feelings were there like that. But I would say that I definitely had girlfriends that were like friends that were girls. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was purely platonic and then they would start making moves on me. I had more game when I was in the closet with the ladies than I did when I was straight for some reason. Or when I came out as gay, but yeah, I definitely was like chased after by some girls that wanted to date me. And those were the ones who ended up becoming my girlfriend because they wore me down and I had to stop saying no.
Yeah, my last girlfriend was a good friend and we dated and she's fantastic. And my biggest regret is that as I was coming to terms and getting ready to come out, I was with her. And so, like, whether we broke up or how we broke up and everything like that, it was just going to hurt her. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that she's a much better person than most people I know. And she is 100% fine and fantastic. And we're good friends now.
Yeah. Now, do you think that Simon realized that's what's happening here, that she's confessing her love for him?
I don't think he did. Because in their conversation later, like at first, I think that he's trying to change the subject because he does. But it's their conversation later where she's like, I was talking about you. And he has that look of what?
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
I don't know. I think that there's like a certain level of awareness that like
you have to have.
You have to have. But like he might have chosen not to believe it. But if he's like, the thought never crossed my mind, mm-hmm. I think that would have been a lie. Maybe he didn't like fully realize it, but like a part of him knew.
We then get the fabulous, why do gay people have to come out? Why can't straight people be the ones that have to come out montage?
And I love it. It was in all the previews. So even if you haven't seen the movie, you've probably seen this, but it just is. It's true in some ways. Like, and I know that there are even parents who like try and raise their kids like that right now. Like we saw in like Queer as Folk where they're like, they don't know their pronouns yet.
Yeah. And I do absolutely love that. And you see that online, more and more whenever people are getting harassed by bigots or something online, someone will turn around and ask, well, when did you know you were straight?
Yeah.
And I'm like, good. Put that back on them.
Yes. And then it's also followed by his it'll get better in college fantasy dance number. What song from your college years would be in your fantasy version of imagining what it'll be like to come out in college?
Oh, and a whole like choreographed dance routine and everything. Mm-hmm. It probably would have either been Heaven by DJ Sammy or Survivor by Destiny's Child.
Can you guess what mine would have been, knowing the like the years?
Oh, Crazy?
No, I'll give you a hint. It was by Rihanna.
I don't know.
Umbrella.
Ah,
it would have been me dancing to Umbrella with umbrellas, and it would have been with the rain, and it would have been fabulous.
That does sound really good.
Yes. Now, Martin urges Simon to move faster with Abby or else the email gets leaked. Simon gets Abby and Martin to go with him to rehearse lines for the play at the Waffle House. Martin is trying too hard again.
Yep.
When she's anything but interested. He begins then like grilling her hard about like her parents' divorce and her move from Georgia to from D.C. until she has to like break down that her dad was like a cheating jerk.
Yeah. And then Martin tries to get Abby to say her name and that she deserves a goddamn superhero. And he goes as far as to stand on top of the seat and get all the attention of everybody in Waffle House until Abby will get up and say it. And she does and ends up feeling kind of really sweet. Yeah, she feels empowered and it's kind of sweet. And you're like, maybe he isn't just the worst.
For now. Yes. Meanwhile, Simon becomes attracted to the waiter, Lyle, who Simon now believes could be Blue.
Yep, because Simon walks outside as Lyle is sending a message on his phone, and they chat briefly, and it's very friendly. until Lyle has to go back inside. And then almost immediately, Simon gets a message from Blue.
Yes. And with the timing of it, he thinks that it could be Lyle for sure now. So now we have, instead of having Bram be the guy in all of the daydreams about what Blue looks like,
yeah,
it's going to be Lyle for a bit now.
Yep. And Blue also says that he's planning to come out to his father, and ends the message signing it "Love, Blue," after Simon had already done the "Love, Jacques."
Yes. Simon, on later taking Abby home, comes out to her. She says she's not surprised, even though she's never suspected it. And there's that kind of like, you know, do you want me to say that I knew all along? Do you yeah. want me to say that I'm surprised, like not knowing? But I mean, the important thing is she stresses is that she still loves him.
Yeah.
Who was the first friend you came out to?
Ronnie.
How did it go?
He called me and told me I was gay because we had been with the same person.
Oh, okay.
1 week apart. And the person was like, oh, I've been in this apartment building before in the apartment right above yours. And so Ronnie called me and at that point I was like, this is it. This is my moment to just be honest.
Yes.
And I did.
Well.
And it went really well with him.
Yes. And
what about you?
Mine, I'm a little still salty about, mostly because someone stole my thunder. But my first friend that I came out to responded back like, me too. And I was like, no, this was my moment. You're supposed to be like the person I'm like telling that'll make it all about me. And so it ended up being nice that we shared the secret, and from what I understand, I think I was the first person that he told as well. And so it was like nice to have someone going through it, but there was like a little bit of me that, like, because everything's supposed to revolve around me, that was very upset that I had to share that moment with someone else.
Yeah. Now Martin is crowding Simon and his friends at the lunch table, but he's closest to Abby, whether she likes it or not.
She seems more friendly with him now.
Right. They're having fun and doing the whole fry shark joke and Friday and things. And it bothers Nick, who still wants to ask Abby out. And Simon, thinking on his feet, tells Nick that, oh, you know what? I think Abby likes Martin. But, you know, Leah has a crush on you and you should ask her out instead.
And see, like, part of me, when I first was critically watching it and saw her tell him about like loving someone for the rest of her life, like I read it at that time as he knew. And so I read this moment as really shitty.
Right.
But at the same time, if he didn't know, which I'm going to like hopefully like rewrite in my story of like that he didn't realize it was about him, then I can also see this, because they did seem to have some chemistry for Halloween when she was helping him with his costume.
Exactly. And so it can be a thing that he was so self-involved with his coming out story that he misinterpreted all the signals.
Yep. And the students go to their homecoming game. Simon sees Lyle and chats with him to find out he's straight and interested in Abby, because like every guy in this movie is interested in Abby. And
because what
is
she's Storm.
Well, that is true. I was about to be just like, they really like the new girl.
Yeah.
And as Simon walks away, he's approached by Martin, who's the school mascot, because of course he is.
Yep.
He asks Simon if he should make a big romantic gesture for Abby, to which an apathetic Simon responds, "Go big or go home."
Martin uses this as an opportunity to pull a Kanye and interrupts the national anthem so that he can ask Abby out in front of the entire school, the parents, and everyone. Embarrassed, she gently tells him that she's just not into him like that, but she does want to be friends. Martin walks away humiliated.
And I laugh and I laugh and I laugh.
And the assistant principal is like, hey, everybody, he went out on a limb. Let's give him a hand for that. That took a lot of guts. Science. And everybody does clap. So, but over Christmas break, Simon tries to call Martin to see if he's okay. Blue then shares that he's going to spend Christmas break in the middle of nowhere, leading Simon to think that it may be Cal, a friend from drama class, who said a similar thing about his Christmas plans. And if there was another character in the movie that could be gay, I would have picked Cal out of the list.
Yes.
Just because of the case of the gay face.
Yes, I agree. And he was the one from the previews, I was convinced, because they had the fantasy over Christmas dinner of him almost kissing him.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's one of the guys. Or that is the guy.
Yeah.
But Leah then to call Simon to tell him to go on the Creek Secrets blog. Martin trying to throw away attention from his homecoming debacle. Ultimately post Simon's emails outing him, making him the worst person in this movie. Period. Nora, his little sister, sees the post and tries to be there for Simon, but when he lashes out at her, she leaves crying.
Yep. This, you know, Simon, the star of our film, if we start really looking at all the things he's done and adding them up, he's not doing too well. Like, so Simon goes absent from his friends during the break, ignoring text, calls, everything. He comes out to his parents on Christmas Day, and they appear okay with it, but his dad, Jack, makes another bad joke, and Simon's little sister, Nora, tells Jack to just shut the hell up, and Jack walks away, and he and Simon don't speak for a bit.
How did your parents react to your coming out?
Not well at all.
Have they grown since?
Yes, you know they've grown since. I know
they've grown since.
It was horrible.
I understand.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, I wouldn't. That is definitely one part of my life I would not want to relive.
Yes. Same. But Simon spots his friends on the street. He goes to talk to them, but Nick and Abby are mad at him for making up lies to keep them apart. Simon admits what was going on with Martin's blackmail, and he apologizes, but they leave, still pissed off.
Yep.
Leah's also finally admits to Simon she was in love with him and would have been fine with him being gay, but she's mad about him lying or hiding it.
Yep.
And are we supposed to feel sympathetic or upset with Simon at this point? Is he the good guy or the bad guy?
I think he's the bad guy. Like, he's our flawed hero, but I don't think we're supposed to feel bad for him right now. This is the point in the movie where we're rooting for him to get his shit together and make things right with the people that care most about him.
I felt bad for him mostly because I remember some of the shitty things that I did to try and throw like the gay scent off.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So I'm still really like, I still feel bad for him. Like I know that he could have done better, but I mean, he's a high school kid with a high school brain doing the best that he can with his high school reasoning skills and life experiences.
I know, but I don't think it excuses it. I want to be like, look at your life. Look at your choices. You did this. These people that would have been there for you through thick and thin. And like I know we get to it in a bit about his reasonings, but like these three are three he could have told.
Yes. And upon returning to school, the other students are all gawking at him after what happened. During lunch, Simon sits alone when Aaron and Spencer call out him and Ethan and mock them in front of the cafeteria, insinuating that they're going to be gay together because all gay people belong together.
Especially if there's only a few gay people, of course you're together.
Yes, which is not true.
It's not true. I mean, it's like, oh, my cousin's gay. Do you know him? Or my cousin's gay. I should hook you guys up. That's not how it works.
And isn't it always frustrating when you end up having hooked up with them?
Then you're like, damn it to hell.
Oh, no, I'm reinforcing the stereotype.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mrs. Albright steps in.
Yeah. Immediately shuts that shit down, shuts them, like, the two bullies up, puts them in their place in front of everyone and sends them to the principal's office. And while they might not have been as cool as Miss Albright, did you ever have any cool teachers?
My favorite teacher was Mrs. Deerdorf, our Spanish teacher, and she was just on this whole other level. And I remember this one day in class where someone was like, do you know what's going to be on the test on Friday? And she said, yo no sé. And they're like, no, come on, tell me. Yo no sé. No, you can tell me. Yo no sé. Tell me, bitch. And she goes, yo no sé means I don't know. You might want to study and watch your tone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that any other teacher would have sent him off to the principal's office. Yeah. And I was just like, that's Mrs. Deerdorf. She was amazing. Did you?
No.
No, no cool teachers.
No cool teachers.
Well, Simon and Ethan are forced to go to the principal's office as well so that the assholes can apologize to them. And Simon's talking to Ethan, who says that although he's open and confident about his homosexuality, it wasn't always easy for him, and his mother still pretends for the rest of his family that he's straight.
Yes, afterwards Simon's going home and he's approached by Martin, who is very apologetic, but Simon rightfully tells him to fuck off.
Yeah, there's no redemption for Martin in this, most likely.
Yes. Blue pulls away after getting back from vacation, going so far as to block Simon.
Yep.
He approaches Cal, who says that he is not Blue and kind of apologizes, but also offers to like talk to them or be there for him.
Yeah, which is really good. And you're like, well, maybe if he isn't Blue, I still think he may be gay. So go for it.
Simon then talks to his mom, who has no problem with him being gay and says he should be free to be himself.
I love this scene so much. And because she says, you know, she didn't know he was gay, just that he was keeping a secret. And when he was young, he was so carefree. But the past few years, it's been like he's been holding his breath. And she says, you get to exhale now, and you get to be more you than you've been in a very long time.
Yes. And this wasn't originally in the script, and his parents didn't even have significant roles. Garner went to Berlanti asking for the scene to connect her character to Simon. So they built the script again and wrote this, which is essentially the message of the film.
Yeah. And it's really good. And I think I couldn't imagine the film without their family scenes.
Yeah.
Because it does anchor the film.
Yeah. Even after this, when he makes right with his dad, who apologizes for like all the dumb jokes, he still gets across the point that he loves his son, supports him, and is proud of him.
Yep.
And Simon then helps Jack come up with a good slideshow for his and Emily's 20th anniversary, because no matter how much of a DILF he is, he's still a dad, which means he can't do technology.
Yeah. And Jack was so proud of the slideshow he had made. And Simon told him that that looks like a fourth grader could have made it, and not like one of the really good tech savvy fourth graders, like one of just the average or slow kids. Simon finds Leah walking her dog on the street, and he's pretending to jog by, and he apologizes to her for lying, and he says that she's his best friend. And if Simon had told her that he was gay, it could have changed everything. And with everything going on in his head and everything else, he couldn't have handled that. And he admits that he's fallen in love with Blue, and he was also afraid that if the emails got leaked, that Blue would run, which he did. And she forgives him and now wants to know more about Blue.
And as Simon continues to grow up really quickly, he posts a confession to the blog where he accepts himself and also apologizes to those he hurt. Just about all of his classmates and teachers read it. And Blue will read it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he puts in an invitation for Blue to find him somewhere after the school's play. The students at school begin to show a greater respect for Simon after this.
And now it's time for the school to finally put on their production of Cabaret, which goes mostly well until the T on the cabaret sign breaks. After the show, Simon's friends invite him to go with him to the carnival, you know, showing that all may not be forgotten, but at least all is forgiven. And Simon takes his entire stash of tickets and uses it to ride the Ferris wheel over and over and over again, waiting for Blue to show up.
Yes, and as much as we would all love to think of such a big romantic gesture, would you be one of the people watching on to see what happens?
100%, I wouldn't have left.
How long would you have waited?
Until he gave up. I would... Do you know the FOMO if I had waited there for 2 hours of him riding it and finally I was like, I'm going home, I'm tired. And then everyone's like, oh my God, as they were turning the lights out, he showed up and I'm like, when? And they're like, oh, like 2 minutes after you left. Yeah, I would have waited until he had given up.
Oh, see, I would have been like, all right, he's been around twice, this bitch isn't coming. And I would have gone on to like take advantage of shorter lines on other rides.
No, like this is all in the whole never been kissed type of thing too.
Yeah,
I would have been at the baseball field too.
Yes, and he is kept waiting for quite some time.
Yeah,
and carnival's about to close up and Simon's out of tickets, but Martin shows up and says he's Blue, and we all cringe.
Yeah,
in the fear that that somehow possibly can make sense, but luckily they quickly realize that it's not. Martin was just trying to make it up to Simon. Martin gives the ride operator a few extra bucks to keep it going one last time. Now, is this redemption for Martin, or is he still a scumbag who deserves to die a virgin of autoerotic asphyxiation?
So My thing is, if you can forgive Simon for all the lies and stuff that he did to his friends, you can work on redemption for Martin.
I guess so. I'll allow it.
Okay. And just then, Blue finally arrives, and it turns out to be...
Bram!
Oh, my goodness. Simon realizes it's, you know, oh, my God, Bram is Blue. Blue is Bram.
Yes. Bram admits that what he saw at the party was a drunk moment that ended quickly. And Bram asks, are you disappointed it's me?
And they reach the top of the Ferris wheel, and Simon and Bram kiss, and everyone cheers. So, obviously, he's not disappointed.
No, he's not. I mean, Keenan's dreamy.
Yeah.
But I love that, like, bit of insecurity where after everything that they've been through, they're still, like, nervous around each other.
Yeah.
But not nervous enough to have quite the public display of affection.
Yeah.
And they live happily ever after.
And people start using the Creek secrets less to anonymously say things about others, but more to bravely share things about themselves, which, good them.
Yes, and we see Simon picks up his friends from school, now including Bram, as they've begun dating. And as they ride to school, Simon notes that it's a beautiful day and they should go on an adventure, and his friends agree, and they drive off for fun.
Yep, and unlike in Greece, the car does not fly into the air.
It does not.
Now, is there any fun trivia you'd like to share with us?
I couldn't find it, but apparently Becky Albertalli's second novel, The Upside of Unrequited, can be seen on Simon's bookshelf as a shout-out to the author.
That's really cute. And, you know, many of the friend group scenes were filmed after Berlanti had called cut, but kept the film rolling in order to have their interactions be genuine. And, like, when they were dancing in the car and stuff like that. And they do seem like realistic friends and realistic teens.
Yes, they certainly do. I really love this movie.
Well, I do too.
You know who I also love?
Our fans.
Yes, and we would love to hear what you think of Love, Simon, or us. And if you love us, you could do that by emailing us at happylifepod@gmail.com.
Or you could always, you know, leave us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts, because that helps to show up more. But you can also get in touch with us on all the socials, whether that is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, @HappyLifePod.
And MySpace.
No, not MySpace.
Not MySpace.
No, or Creek kidding. Secrets.
No. Okay. All right. Well, until next time, everyone.
Stay happy.
You're still here, which is great, because there's something we probably forgot to mention this episode.
That is correct. Each episode, as we're discussing movies, music, and games, there's a good chance we've used a small clip or two from the original source material.
Yes, and those clips are not ours. We do not own the rights to any of the music or clips. They were used to help solicit a discussion to appreciate the original source material.
And with that, if you are still listening, you likely really appreciate our material as well.
I mean, how could you not? And if you've enjoyed this episode, then you should also ask yourself, when's the last time I told a friend to check out A Lifetime of Happiness?
If your answer was not today, well, it should be.
Yes, so go tell your best girlfriend about our podcast today, and don't forget to subscribe or follow us wherever you're listening to get new episodes each Wednesday.
Stay happy.